Good morning. How we doing? All right. Turn on over to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 8. Boy, I hope I'm not the only one that finds this funny. I remember the only way I could stay up past 10 o'clock in the household was if I watched the news with mom and dad. So I remember it was, Q2 or Color 8, and they had this slogan in it, and it might still be the slogan today, so I don't watch the news anymore, but they said, fair, accurate, to the point. And they took pride in that. And now when I think of that slogan, I don't think of Q2, I think of Jeff Bisco. Fair, accurate, to the point. If you were here for the Bible question this morning, and I was having a good time. And he gets up here and he says it how it is, and he gets to the point, and then he gets done. And it just reminded me how much I appreciate you guys. And I guess the other thing I thought of too was we got to see how, I never thought a microphone would turn into fear factor, because I guess we got to see how that turned out, huh? First week after our newly implemented microphone, and none of y'all got any comments anymore, and Jeff has to do Larry's for him, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I couldn't help but to think about the Queen of Sheba comes, because she's heard of Solomon's glory. And she shows up and she says, not even the half of it was accurately told to me. When she compares that to what she sees. And then I think of the words of Jesus. In this very gospel, just a chapter ago, how he said, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. Like one of disciples of Christ who trust in the Lord. Brethren, that is you guys. That is awesome. I think about the glory that's trying to be communicated with the wealth and the power of Solomon's kingdom. Brethren, consider what we have in here right now. Consider what it looks like. From the throne, from our very God in heaven, as he looks down at Solomon's kingdom, and then as he looks down at the spiritual kingdom, you guys, who through your faith and trust in Jesus Christ are the greatest thing in the world. That's amazing. And so I'm super excited to be here today and to be able to deliver a lengthy message of exhortation I feel is scriptural. Very excited and thinking about, man, look what we have. But it kind of ties in really great with the message today, because in that passage in Matthew chapter 7, he's talking about those who trust in the Lord. Who buy into the Lord's plan, who trust in his ways, and indeed they've been clothed with anything greater than anything Solomon has ever clothed with. In Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 18. Now when Jesus had saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, great God in heaven, you are a great and wonderful God. Hallowed is your name. Your very existence defines righteousness, truth, and light. And that through you there is no darkness. Lord, we're so thankful for the scriptures, and so thankful that through them we come to learn of your kingdom. Lord, this is a great and mighty army that's been assembled here today. Grateful that we come together. May we appraise the spiritual value that you put on the church. And may we be willing to follow you, Jesus, no matter what. And may we be willing to trust in your plan for our lives, no matter what. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to be before your great mighty army, the kingdom. Pray that the message is encouraging and edifies you, that your word is spoken, that it is spoken truthfully, and that you alone, Lord, are glorified. We pray in the risen name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, are you not thankful for the Scriptures? I'm thankful for the Scriptures when I'm reading them, when I'm memorizing them, when I'm teaching them, but I'm especially appreciative for the Scriptures when I get up here and I'm able to preach from them. Brethren, our God became man so that He might communicate to us God's righteousness. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, preserved it. So that we, the church, the risen, sanctified, glorified army of God, might be able to look back and read and have faith. And to draw strength. Super thankful for the Scriptures. And so in going through this section here in Matthew chapter 8, I keep bringing some messages out from the Gospel according to Matthew. Two things come to mind. Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what? Jesus, I am willing to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, well, the foxes and the birds got a place to go, but the Son of Man doesn't. And if you follow me, neither will you. Are you willing to follow Jesus? That when the camp of the saints, this very room here, along with the rest of the world who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, gets surrounded by the world and persecuted for their belief and threatened, and the darkness encloses, will you follow the Lord? No matter what. And then the other thing that jumps out to me is, will you trust the Lord's plan for your life? When that boat gets a-rocking and the storms come knocking, are you going to trust that you have peace and safety because Jesus Christ is on your side? A couple things that really jump out to me. Here in verse 18 in Matthew chapter 8, he says, now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. And I like that, you know, them crowds start to get a little big. Start to get a little cozy, start to get the bellies filled. He goes away. Looking for those who are willing to follow Him. And so, just for a moment, want to touch on this morning, how many people do you think stopped at that lake shore? How many people do you think were assembled, probably by the thousands, riled up and ready to follow the one who calls himself the Son of Man, but then he goes to the other side and it didn't really fit their plans for that evening? How many people probably didn't make it? How many people probably stayed and stopped alongside the lake shore? And it made me think about something. I'm not going to blow your mind with this comment, but our culture has evolved into something incredibly lazy. You know, and it's got ways of seeping itself into the Lord's church. But our culture has evolved into something incredibly lazy. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 16. You know, I've been very interested in the impact that technology and social media is having on our generations, the ones that kind of around my age where it kind of first, I mean, Facebook came out when I guess I was in my 20s, I wasn't even a teenager. Well, and seeing how that impacts the world and how some of these younger generations who are coming up and have only ever known it since they were kids. And I remember reading that studies are showing that more kids, more teens are staying home on the weekends with mom and dad than they are going out and hanging out with their friends. Now, I don't think that's inherently a bad thing, okay? But the reason why it was in the article and it wasn't so great is because they're sitting in their bed with Netflix on their TV, Snapchatting all their friends. You know, instead of hanging out with them. Man, if you, I should say if, when mom made me stay home on a Friday night, my senior year of high school, my world came to an end. You wouldn't think there was going to be a Saturday. You would have thought that it was over and done. Because I wanted to go. And now they're just like, hey, I'm going to hang at home. You know, crush a season of whatever TV show. I'm not saying these things are inherently bad, but the point I'm making is like society's changing. And it's becoming more and more lazier. You know, I just with having a new child, lots of people are reaching out, and I had spoken to a restaurant manager who lives in Logan, Utah, and a product coach for the region of Texas Roadhouse in the Northwest who lives in Boise, Idaho, and they told me, man, boy, you thought it was hard to staff a kitchen when you were the kitchen manager a few years ago. You should see what the workplace looks like today. They're like, Nolan, I'm not trying to take away from anything that you ever experienced and the difficulties you had to get good people in, to get them to sink in, and to buy in, and to remain committed. But he said, we got to be honest with you, man. You had it easy compared to what we see today. You know, even getting to the point where, you know, people, because I have a lot of connections in town, they're like, hey, you know, I need a job. I've even caught myself in the past calling up the kitchen manager here in Billings saying, hey, I know somebody who needs a job, but they're not real reliable. And they're like, well, that's okay. That's kind of what we're used to. That's literally what they tell me. They just want to know if this person's willing to interview or not. They need someone to cover a shift tonight. Okay? And so it makes me think about what society looks like and kind of the direction that's turning. And I thought of Matthew chapter 16 here. Jesus says in verse 24 to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I mean, we got people. I mean, let's not even talk about what a cross symbolizes. A sacrifice. Putting to death anything you ever wanted for your life to line it up with what Christ wants. These people aren't even willing to pick it up. Not even willing to get out of their jammies on a Saturday morning. I failed to write down who said it. It got quoted last week. The saying goes, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting, as it's been found difficult and just not try. But see, the reason why I bring it up is societal laziness, that, you know, that doesn't come from Satan at all, right? That has no spiritual ramifications at all, right? You know, you're reading your Bible and you're reading in the beginning of Matthew, man, and Herod sends out an execution order, wiping out all the infants 2 years of age or younger. Yeah, that wasn't Satan, was it? You see, all these things originate from him. And guys, you can see laziness creeping in to discipleship. A casualness sneaking in. We have to be careful. I'm appreciative that God tests the hearts of men. I'm appreciative of it. Because, brethren, if we remain faithful, God's producing in us an eternal faith. And God's got this thing designed where if you're not all in, you're not going to make it. And so it can't go without saying, you got to ask yourself, are you all in? Are you all in? Are you offering your entire body as a living and holy sacrifice to the Lord? Man, He wants it all. But if you're not willing to lay it all out on the line for the Lord, something will snag you away. Okay? You know, I think about Jesus is willing to challenge the heart and the mind of the believer. He's just fed the 5,000. I think it was Larry read the scripture out of John chapter 6. And he says, you didn't follow me because of my teaching, you follow me because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Challenging the hearts of the believers, trying to find where their true convictions are. I'm appreciative that the Lord does it because it's the way He separates those who are truly going to follow Him and commit their lives to Him and are willing to follow Him. Because if you're not willing to follow the Lord in this life, what makes you think you're going to follow Him for an eternity in heaven? Okay. Kind of got to move on here. Go check it out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God is allowing a deluding influence to go through the world. Almost as a hook and bait. Pull people away. It says, because they lacked a desire and a love for the truth. Brethren, this takes everything you've got. You cannot catch yourself being lazy. As if these things trans... If you catch yourself being lazy physically, at the job site, at home, as a leader in your home, as a servant in your home, it will translate into your spiritual walk. And so this is a picture I got. Man, Jesus crosses that river. He's wondering how many are going to make it. I bet some didn't cross to the other side. Okay? In verse 19, he says, and a scribe came to him. Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another disciple says, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And then they get into the boat and the storms come. Brethren, are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what? You know, this message this morning, as I kind of envisioned it for you guys, hopefully encouraging and gets you to think, I'm asking you to ask yourself, are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what? I think you probably hear that from time to time. So as we go through this, really consider your walk and your faith. Every single one of you, in the spirit of your repentance and in your immersion, said, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you want to go. No matter what. Every single one of you, in the spirit of your repentance, confession, immersion, and on your faith, said, Jesus, I will follow you no matter what. Because you counted the costs. It finally clicked in your mind where if you stay where you're at, you're going to hell. But if you choose to follow the Lord, it's going to cost you this life. And in that moment, you were willing to lay anything down. Are you still willing today? Because Jesus' response is, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? The sons of thunder come to Jesus, petitioning Him for a position, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus' answer is, are you able to drink from the cup and undergo the immersion of suffering? I'm going to undergo. You see, Jesus starts that by saying, you don't know what you asked for. And to some extent, they had a picture of Jesus taking His seat in the temple. You can know that from their reaction in Acts chapter 1. To some extent, He's saying, you don't know what you're asking for. Your mental picture is all wrong. But at the end of the day, I also feel like He's saying, you're asking for something and haven't counted the costs. You're asking for something and haven't considered that there is a price that will need to be paid for that position. Are we as convicted and committed to do God's will in our life as the day we said Jesus is Lord? I'm really thankful for this illustration I got at youth camp this year, picturing our walk and our faith in Christ Jesus going up an escalator the wrong way. That was one of my greatest joys as a kid. You know, if we ever got to an airport or to a mall that had one of those things, it's just to run up the one that's going down. Brethren, you get immersed into Christ and you say you're willing to follow Him and you get placed on that escalator and it's going down and it's called the pull of the world. And you want to make it to the top, man, you got to be moving. You got to be willing to pay the price. But you get a little cozy, you get a little comfortable, and you start slipping back down the wrong way. And I got thinking, this illustration is used a lot, but I wanted to add on to it. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what? If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I'm sure most of us have heard that before. And it's great because it communicates a great spiritual lesson. That if you got put up in front of the world, convicted as a Christian, would you be found guilty based on the evidence brought before you? But then I got thinking about, what is this price that has to be paid to be set at the right of Jesus? You know what came to mind? Your Bible collection, your devotional library, and your assembly attendance records would not be enough to convict you. You guys understand what I'm saying? Lots of people go to church. Lots of people got Bibles. Lots of people study the Word of God. Let's go over to John chapter 15. What is this price that must be paid? What is it that pulls us down on that escalator that separates us so much from the world? You're standing on trial. The world's convicting you. Are you a disciple of Christ? What will make you found guilty? John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit." Oh, and so prove to be my disciple. It's the kindness and the tolerance and the patience that you show one another that will convict you. You see, the Lord does speak life into a valley of dead bones and does rise it up as an exceedingly great army, but its purpose is communicating God's righteousness in this life. A brother, reading your Bible, that faith that comes by hearing by the Word of Christ, going to grow your faith. But really what's going to prove your discipleship in this life is your love for one another. That God can bring together an entire group of people who are completely different from each other in almost every single way and unite them under one purpose, that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that's the price that has to be paid. The evidence that's going to be brought before you is your character, is your fruit. Did you replicate God's plan in your life? Did you do it? Did you follow Jesus wherever He went? If you want the prize, you have to be willing to pay the price. Now, this section, to some degree, kind of reminds me also that the foxes and the birds have places to go because they were made for this world. And that Jesus Christ and those who have been born from above do not. Jesus got nowhere to lay His head because He does not belong here. And all those who have been born from above, who follow in His footsteps, it's the same. There will be nowhere for you to lay your head. This spiritual truth holding so self-evident that Paul writes to Timothy, saying that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There were things made for this world that will perish along with this world, and brethren, you guys are not one of them. Because you have been born again from above. And because of that, you're not always going to have a place to rest your head. And because of that, you should be rubbing the world the wrong way, if you know what I mean. Your character should bear witness against the evil and even exposing the evil in this life. And because of it, Paul says, all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. There is a price that is going to have to be paid. You know, our Lord desired that price. Man, that joy set before Him. That seat in the heavenly places and the gifting of His church, His body. That He overcame the cross, which was the price to be paid. He's asking us to do the same thing. I want us to appreciate the gravity of that and let it sink in this morning. You know, nothing of value ever comes without a cost. Then take too many years in this life to figure that out. few exchanges of some currency for some valuables. But nothing of value ever comes free from cost. You know, I think of Acts chapter 20, man, when Paul's got them Ephesian elders gathered together. He says, you shepherd that church of God, which has been entrusted to you, which Jesus Christ purchased with His own blood. Is there a price that was paid? You know, I find that interesting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know what it made me think of? The Lord is Spirit. And for God to be worshipped the way in which He desired, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because our Lord's calling us out to do the very same thing. Great freedom has been given. A great price has been paid. God has gone through great lengths to bring about His church. You, who could truly offer Him the worship that He desires. Valuable more than anything, including all of Solomon, all of his glory. He was willing to pay the price and shed His blood. And He's calling us to do the very same thing. Because a price will be paid for your life no matter what. You can either take the deal that Jesus is offering in this life, or you can pay the price for it in the next. You know, I guess what's kind of been on my mind is the honest truth is you're only going to do as good as you mentally prepare right now. Man, you are only going to do as good as you mentally prepare right now. I think it was brought out in class really well this morning. It's easy for us to think big picture. Yeah, I'm willing to follow the Lord. Yeah, I'm willing to be burnt at the stake for my belief in the Lord. Yeah, I'm willing to even sacrifice my family if it means it's the will of the Lord. But man, we got to pass a lot of small tests along the way for those words to be a true reality in our life. Are we really willing to follow the Lord wherever He goes? And whatever direction He takes our life. The truth is, you will only do as well as you mentally prepare today. Verse 23, he said he gets into the boat and his disciples followed him. And behold, then arose a great storm on the sea. The boat was being covered with waves and Jesus himself was asleep. You get that one figured out, you come and tell me. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And he said, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea. And it became perfectly calm. And they were amazed, as they should be. I just wrote down, when the boat that is your life appears to be sinking, and the storms show no sign of lifting, is your trust in the Lord? I know every single one of you is saying yes. But man, think back to the last time you felt the boat sinking and the storms unrelenting. Did you trust in the Lord? I don't think I did. I think I tried to take control of the situation. See, that's kind of our tendency. When uncertainty is surrounding us and we're not really sure what's coming, the only thing we know is that God says it's a storm and it doesn't make sense. And then we pray about it and it doesn't match the scriptures. Our tendency is to get in control. Finances. Really good example of that. Commit to the Lord's body. Really good example of that. The storms are coming. The apostles went through a physical storm. We too have to endure the storms of this life. I want you to picture what. Maybe there's a storm in your life right now. What's Jesus' response to you? Well done. Continue to trust in my plan. Or is He calling you out for your lack of faith? Brethren, I only say these things because this is what I'm thinking about in my own walk and my faith. And I'm sharing them with you. And we can talk a big talk, but are we walking it? To truly, truly trust in the Lord. And put yourself in that boat. I'd be doing the same thing probably. Hey man, help us out. And his response is, y'all should be good because I'm here. You shouldn't even be worried about it. I mean, I've been on a boat a handful of times, but I mean like a real boat and a real water. What was up in the ocean off the coast of Anchorage there. So, I mean, I got in real water. I'm like, man, there were some of these waves where I was like, I've never seen anything like that before. You know, if you're out on Cooney and you got your speedboat and you get something that's about a foot and a half tall and you got the tube going, you're excited. You're like, yeah, we got a good one coming. And then I'm up here fishing for halibut off the bottom of the ocean floor, man, and there's 10-foot swells, dude, because it's windy. I was scared. I got a feeling like the storm that's communicated here, a little bigger than anything I've seen off the coast of Alaska. I think I'd be scared. How about you guys? And the Lord's saying, you got to trust. The real issue is you lack faith. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. Our Lord is patient. The exhortation is to grow, and that faith and trust are directly related to one another. You know, in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 9, Luke records Jesus is also saying that no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Brethren, if you're looking back, it's because you lack trust. We got trust issues. We doubt. And so we look to what we know. And in some cases, try to take control of the situation. Jesus is saying, have faith and trust in my plan for your life. You guys have probably every single person here has done the trust fall exercise. And if you haven't, you probably should. And if you haven't, I guess I better explain it. It's where someone stands behind you and you literally just fall back in your own volition and you trust that that person is going to catch you. Okay? And so because of it, there's lots of really good YouTube videos of trust falls gone wrong. And my favorite one is when this 10-year-old girl at the fault of her daddy's instruction went forward. Daddy wasn't there to catch her. But the reason we would fall the wrong way, or the reason why we wouldn't allow ourselves to fall into Jesus' plan, is because of trust. It is a trust exercise, and it is defining your faith. I hope you guys don't think I'm picking on you today, because I'm talking to me. You think about those last few times that you can consider yourself being truly tested. And I'm not talking about the $50 electric bill came and you don't have $50. I'm talking about you're doubting in God's plan of salvation and you're not sure. Real things like Satan's knocking at your door. Temptation is real. And you're struggling to overcome. Did you trust in the Lord? Did you trust in the Lord? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Brethren, the answer is to build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope brought it out this morning. Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what? Man, we've got a great example in Scripture in Matthew chapter 8. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, prove it. You'll do it. Not by your works. Not by your Bible reading, not by your church attendance, but by your faith. I have to throw this in there. If your faith is the faith that comes from heaven, you'll go to church and you'll read your Bible. That's how you're going to answer that call. That's how you're going to pray. That's how you're going to pay that price. And if you do that, you'll trust when the storms are coming. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Because our faith is the foundation. Brethren, we are building a spiritual house of faith. Each one of us. Every moment of every day. Guys, the storms are coming. And I bet you're happy you are probably in the middle of one right now. Right now. Is your house going to stand? You know, I used to go down to where Mom and Dad lived down there in Nevada, and so we kind of got a family thing of watching, not House Hunters, they buy the terrible houses and make them cool and then sell them for a lot of money. What's that called? Flip or flop! Okay? And so they buy these really run-down homes, been burnt to the ground, some were just terrorized with bugs and critters, and they restore them to their... So the new glory, and they sell them for a ton of money, and it makes good for television because you should see the homes they're buying. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting because no matter how bad it is, they always end up flipping it and making a profit, right? Well, if you don't know, now you know. There was one house they lost money on. Can you bet what happened? They had bought a house with a crack in the foundation, and they lost money on that house. Guys, the storms are going to come, and they're going to ravage your windows. They are going to rip off your siding, and they're going to leave golf ball-sized dimples in your shingles. It can be rebuilt if it was founded on Jesus Christ. But that foundation's weak, and it lacks trust. And Jesus is saying, you men of little faith, it's going to come tumbling down, and great will be its fall. That I didn't tell you anything you don't know. I just hope that we're encouraged. We have an example here in Matthew chapter 8. Someone said, I'll follow you wherever you will go. And Jesus says, don't be tough. You think of all the work excuses I've ever heard. My dog ate my homework. Don't feel so good. Don't have gas money. Whatever reason it can be to come into work and someone says, I got to go bury my father. Jesus says, come and follow me. Pretty serious. There's a price that's going to be paid. Okay, let's stand. Mark, I don't think we're going to have time. No, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great God in heaven, Lord, what a great and kind, compassionate God you are. Lord, we thank you so much. We know that each and every single one of us was foreknown in your mind before we were placed in our mother's womb. But you have brought us out and brought us up for a specific time, for a specific purpose. Lord, we thank you so much that we can be a part of your church, the very body of Christ as he is the head. Lord, we have been so blessed with your scriptures that we can know the very mind of God. We can know his plan for mankind. We can know his very character. Lord, I thank you so much for it. Grateful for Jesus' teaching, and just pray that we continue to march forward, being willing to sacrifice whatever it is for you, Lord. Lord, each one of us is here because on some level in our repentance we said we'll do it. But now our faith is being tested every day. Lord, there are some people who aren't here and they're losing that battle. There are some people who are here that are struggling. And there are some people who are here and they have great faith and trust in the Lord. Lord, the exhortation is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's grab each other, strengthen each other, and remind each other that faith and trust in Jesus Christ will guarantee the salvation of our souls. Nothing else, and nothing else in this life. There's nothing here for us. No place to lay our head. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.